Well, it's the 12th day of Christmas. Now, the world has gone up, you know. They took down their decorations and the malls and all of that. But today's the 12th day of Christmas, the Feast of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means a manifestation or a showing forth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in particular, it's a manifestation or a showing of Christ to the Gentiles. The Magi, the three wise men, perhaps the kings who come from the east, these represent all the nations, you and I. Most of us do not trace our origins to the Jewish people, I would imagine, but rather to the Gentile people. You know, in the Bible was divided up. There was Jews and everybody else. How does it feel to be among everybody else, all right? Well, today, everybody else makes it to the crib, makes it to the manger to see our Lord, makes it to that place where they encounter Jesus, the Son of God, in Mary's arms. And this, if you will, completes the Christmas cycle, because the Lord came not only to save Israel, but to save all the nations. And so today's Feast of the Epiphany is a very fitting feast, especially for all of us. And it kind of gets understated today, especially in America. In many parts of the world, this is a big feast day. This is actually the day when they exchange the gifts. This is actually the day when there are great parties and celebrations. But in America, it's just not so. But today, I do wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry 12th day of Christmas. Now, I want to talk about three things today, three aspects of this feast. I want to talk a little bit about guidance, I want to talk about growth, and I want to talk about gifts. First of all, guidance. These wise men, it is said, saw a star rising in the east, and they followed that star into what we call today the Holy Land. And they inquired there. We'll find out more about that in a minute. But notice, they're following a star. A star. And receiving guidance, if you will, direction from that star. Now, I want to ask you, what guides you? What is it that gives you direction? What is the light that you see by? Now, don't answer too quickly. I know how we all should answer the question. Oh, God gives me guidance. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is my light. I know. That's how we should answer the question. But I'm asking you, really honestly, what is your light? What is your star? What is it that really guides you? Is it Jesus, the light of the world? Or is it other worldly things, thoughts, visions, opinions? You know, an awful lot of people, these wise men were following a star, and a lot of people today follow stars, movie stars, basketball stars, football stars. You know, if the movie star wears this kind of clothing, I got to wear this kind of clothing. If the basketball star gets a piercing, I got to get a piercing. Gets a tattoo, I better go out and get a tattoo. I better wear their number in the jersey and wear it all over the place. And even if you're not following those kind of stars, it's very easy for us to fall into the trap of following the star or the guidance, if you will, that the world gives us through politics, through popular opinion, media, news. Now, we can't completely close out any other influence, but again, I ask you, is it really the teachings of God as given to us in the Scriptures and the teaching of the Church that guide you? Or is it really the world where you take your clue about where to go, what to think, how to act, a moment of honesty that I want to encourage you and myself to think about for a minute. You know, too often today, people have it backwards. Instead of the world being on trial, God, the scriptures, and the teachings of the church are on trial. You better prove that to me. This is crazy. You know, whatever the teaching might be. Today, the world has particularly gone mad and crazy about life and death issues and about sexuality. And very often today, people simply shake their fist and just brush aside the teaching of Scripture and the teaching of the church regarding these things. And they put the church and the teachings of Scripture on trial. You better prove that to me. It doesn't make sense to me because it doesn't comport with my worldly thinking. Now, do you see how backwards that is? It should be that we're so imbued with a scriptural, biblical understanding of things that when we hear crazy talk from the world, we put the world on trial and say, explain yourself. But instead, even many Christians who go to church regularly put the teachings of God on trial. And it becomes the task of a preacher to get up and try to prove the point. And you know, I'm not saying that's equally true for every one of us here. I'm just saying it's a common problem. Because really, it's the world and its opinions. They come to me through politics or the media or whatever. It's that light that most people are following. And the scriptures almost seem obnoxious at times. What do you mean I gotta forgive my enemy? You're crazy! And instead of saying, what do you mean I gotta go to war against my enemy and get back and take retribution? Instead of asking the world those questions, we ask God those questions and we think God is crazy. Love my enemy. I gotta get back at my enemy and destroy my enemy. When the Bible teaches that sexuality belongs only within marriage and that sins of fornication and adultery are very grave sins against God and against others, the world says, oh, come on, man. Lighten up. Instead of us saying to the world, what is your problem that you're so crazy about sexuality that you're going outside of marriage and before marriage? What's on trial? What really guides your thinking and my thinking about that matter? The Pope recently, it was actually Pope John Paul, in recent years, has suggested to us that we, especially in the West, live in something called a culture of death, where increasingly the solution to problems is death. For example, a baby that's conceived in an inconvenient time, or perhaps with some birth defects, the solution is to kill the baby. Or again, we have a criminal, and the solution is to put them to death. Or we have an enemy, and the solution is to go to war. Or a person is struggling at the end of their life with suffering, and we all will one day have to go through. And the solution is to inject them with the poison and kill them. Increasingly, this is the world's solution to things. If a person has a problem, or there's a problem, death is the solution. Now, God is a God of life. I'm not saying we have to put people on endless machines and hook them up to all kinds of things and keep them alive forever. That's also playing God. But to actively take and inject someone with a poison like we kill an animal, to put an animal down, that is against God's teaching. And brothers and sisters, all of this, if you're worldly minded, though, can seem obnoxious and strange. What goes on in your mind? How do you and I see the world? What is the light that you and I see by? What is the star that we follow? Is it really God? and the things and the teachings of God, or is it the world and its ways? And that's the challenge for us as this star is before us. Is it truly the light of Christ, or is it a movie star, a media star, a political star, a basketball or sports star? Who really most influences you, and what is it? So again, I just leave that thought with you. What's on trial? The teachings of God and the scriptures? Or the world? I'm not saying we can't ask legitimate questions about the teachings of scripture and the teachings of the church. Sometimes we need more information. It's not always immediately obvious to us why something is taught. It's all right to ask questions. I'm talking about the shaking of the fist, I won't listen, that doesn't make sense to me, away with it. Again, that shows that the light that we're seeing by is not of God, it's of the world. We ought to be asking very tough questions of the world as well. Someone ought to say amen. Not only do I want to mention to you guidance today, I want to talk to you for a moment about growth. You know, the wise men here are following a star. And by faith, we believe that God put that star for them to see. But I want you to know that, in a way, they make a journey. And the journey is from going to see the light of a star to seeing the light of the world. They follow a star, but that star leads them to the light of the world, which is Jesus. Or who is Jesus? And something happens to them on that journey that changes them. Now, just think about this journey they're making. First of all, they're following a star. They're not sure what it is. They're not sure exactly what it signifies. They think it means a newborn king. And you notice, the first thing they do after they follow the star is that they go to a worldly leader and say, "Do you have the answer?" They go to a wicked man named Herod. And Herod tells them what to do. And for a while, they're following what Herod says. "Go, find out about this child and report back to me so that I can go and worship him too." But they're on this journey. And they're looking for clues in the world at first, aren't they? They're talking to Herod. They're following a star. But they keep following, they keep looking. And in all of this, God is calling them. And they finally find their way to Jesus by God's grace. And they put their gifts before him and they worship him. And brothers and sisters, listen carefully to the next thing that happens. They receive word from God in the dream not to go back to Herod. And so, the text so beautifully says, they went back to their own country by another way. By another way. You know what that means? Conversion. It means that God allows U-turns. It means that God can help us to change our ways. And they understand and they come to grips with the fact that not everything in the world is good and glorious, and that they should not go back to Herod. They have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ says, "Not that way, this way." And they, in obedience, follow him. Do you see the growth? And isn't that the journey that we're all on? We may be looking around, trying to get clues in the world about where we fit in and what things mean. It's not evil. We're looking, we're trying to understand. But we have to be careful, because not everything that the world tells us is of God. There are some very wicked people and wicked philosophies and confused philosophies that can mislead us. Now Herod appeared to them like a sheep, but he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen? And the Lord has warned us to be careful. The many will come to us as wolves in sheep's clothing. Now we need to be discerning. And the more we encounter Jesus Christ, and the more we grow, and the more He begins to change us and transform our minds and our hearts, we begin to see that not everything that we encounter in this world is of God. And He says, not the way that the world says, but the way that I say. And we are called to go to our country by another route. Are you following me? Our homeland, of course, is heaven. And often the world says, this is the way, walk in it. But the Lord finally gets to us, and we finally encounter the Lord, and the Lord says, no, that is not the way. Walk this way, another way. Go to your country by another route. And so you see the growth that these wise men show. And what makes them truly wise is not that they followed the star or got advice from Herod. What makes them truly wise is that they heard Christ, they encountered Christ, and they obeyed Him. The heart of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, obedience, respect, and reverence for God. This is what makes them wise men. So, we talked about guidance today, and about growth. I hope that you and I are also growing. That you and I can say, you know, I used to think in very worldly ways about certain things. I was revengeful. I was angry and bitter. I tried to get back. Or I was confused about sexuality. Or I was more greedy. And I hope that more and more, if you've encountered Jesus Christ, you can begin to say that I'm going a different way now. I may not be perfect yet. I may not have it all worked out. But the Lord is changing my mind and my heart. I'm beginning to see things differently. I'm beginning to have different priorities. I'm beginning to think of things differently and in a better way, a more biblical way. I hope you and I are growing. Not only do I want to talk to you about guidance and growth, but I want to say a word about the gifts that they bring. The wise men bring gold, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Most of us are familiar with gold. Let gold, if you will, represent... You see, what gifts are you and I asked to bring to God? The first gift is the gift of our gold. All our possessions, our money, all our assets, and lay them before the feet of Christ and simply say to Him, how would you have me make use of my possessions, my money, by assets. To be obedient. God calls us to be generous. He also calls us to be wise, frugal, to not be carried away by greed and confusion about thinking if I just get more acquisitions and more things, I'll be happy. The Lord asks us to be faithful to the tithe. The Lord asks us, again, to have a sense of how He wants us to use the money that we have, the assets that we have. It's not a simple blanket solution, give it all away to the poor. It might be to take it and invest it wisely and open up a business so that other people can find jobs. I'm not going to give you a simple solution. I'm just saying, have you submitted your income, your possessions, your things to God and say, they're really yours? In fact, I got news for you. That money in your wallet, it's tainted money. It ain't yours. It's all God's. And we need to lay it before His feet and say, how would you have me set my spending priorities? What would you have me do with the income that you've given me? And not just the income, but my possessions, my assets. We know general principles. God wants us to be generous. We also know that God wants us to be wise. God wants us to be careful, to avoid greed. We know these basic principles, but again, I ask you, are you willing to give the gift, to put all your possessions before God, and say, teach me what you expect of me in terms of financial stewardship over all my things and my money? Again, the next gift, gold, there is frankincense. We usually shorten it today and we just say incense. Incense, in the Bible, is a symbol for worship. It always accompanied worship in the temple in Jerusalem. We, of course, use it in the Catholic liturgy Some of you say too frequently. But remember, that's holy smoke. It's been blessed. So when you breathe it in, it's not like nicotine. It's holy smoke. And it's blessing your lungs. All that aside, it's a symbol of our worship. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, let my prayer rise like incense. So, incense is a symbol of our worship and our praise. And you, brothers and sisters, and I bring to God the gift of worship and praise. Or so we are told to do. Now listen, let me tell you something important. Only you can praise God the way you can praise Him. Only you can pray to Him the way you pray to Him. Only you can worship Him the way you worship Him. You and I are unique, unrepeatable, irreplaceable. No one can take your place. You can't pay someone to do it for you. You can't send someone else. Only you can praise God the way you praise Him. A unique gift that only you can give. God made us all unique because each of us in some way manifests some unique aspect of God's glory. Again, see your dignity, but also see your responsibility to offer gifts, to offer God not only your gold, but the frankincense, the myrrh, the frankincense, the incense of your worship, of your praise. And then finally, the gift of myrrh, which is embalming fluid, pardon the expression. That's what it is. It's burial ointment. What a strange gift to bring to an infant king. But of course, Christ would die for our sins. And so it is that this burial ointment, what is it a symbol of for us? Well, church, in the end, it means this for us, that we give God our entire life. Scripture says that we are to die and Christ is to live in us. You and I, in our baptism, died to ourself to live and to rise and to live for Christ. We are to give God the gift of our entire life. Say, Lord, all of my talents, all of my ability, my strength, my health, whatever is yours. I give it to you. Make use of me as you see fit. Just show me the way so that I can obey. I give you the gift of my life. I want to die to sin. I want to live for grace. I want to die to my own agenda, my own opinions, my own attitudes, and I want to live for you. My mind, my heart, my body, my soul, they all belong to you. I give them to you. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Use me, mold me, fashion me. Again, the gift of our very life we give to God. So again today, we talked about a number of aspects of the Epiphany. Just to quickly remind you, we talked about guidance. What really lights up your mind? Is it the teachings of God or is it the world? We talked about growth. Are you growing? Am I growing more and more in following the ways of Jesus Christ and seeing that not all the ways of the world are holy? And then finally, what gifts do we bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I wish you a happy feast of the Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas. For not only today does the Lord bring gifts to us, but we too, not as though we could ever repay God, but simply because we love God, we too bring gifts to God. Amen.